At Daleville Christian Church, we think it's important that you know what you believe. And as it is the Sunday before St. Valentine's Day, I think we can say pretty solidly that Valentine, whom we know as St. Valentine, knew what he believed. He believed in Jesus and in God's love, the love of Jesus and the love of God, which he would not deny. And because he would not deny it, it probably cost him his life. Probably one of the reasons he was made a saint. Do you know what you believe about love? Or God's love? Or Jesus' love? We have an affirmation of our faith that we say each time. We have some 20 different ones we use. Perhaps this one will help answer some questions about God's love for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reading of God's word for today is from the book of Revelation in the second chapter, verses 8 through 11. To the church in Smyrna, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your affliction and your poverty, and yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews, but they're not. They're a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. For 10 days, be faithful, even to the point of death. And I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Here's what I was trying to say last time, and it dovetails onto what we want to talk about today. If you're not sure what the right decision is or the right way to go because of God's commandments and God's will, and why would we struggle with the two of those? Because, like the Pharisees forgot, God's commands flow from God's love, God's will. God's love is God's will. That's why Jesus can say, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So you tell me. Is it fair to say that the Lord is not terribly interested in you and I meting out justice? Jesus is going to judge, and the Lord is going to bring the results of that judgment. The Lord is much more interested in us practicing love rather than practicing justice. You can think about that and get back to me. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea. The prophet Hosea's people were very active in the temple of the living God. Their prayers were regular, and their sacrifices made a pleasing odor to the Lord. And they were living wrong. Crushing the poor, taking advantage of the weak. Oh, it was all done legally, I assure you. Just as the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day shunned tax collectors and shamed adulterers without offering an alternative through mercy. Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Sacrifices on the altar without love in your heart doesn't mean much. What did the apostle say? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the so-called love chapter. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, but do not have love, I gain nothing. That means if today you write a check for your entire annual income and place it in the offering plate, but don't do it with the love of God and neighbor, no one gets blessed. Now, I hasten to add, if you do sign over your entire annual income to Daleville Christian Church, I also believe that God will work all things for good. So if you're feeling it today, be my guest. I believe that God can work with that gift, but the point is this. Like Paul said, when he was getting a collection together for the poor Christians in Jerusalem, he was blessed by the eagerness of the other churches to help their brothers and sisters. Paul was blessed by their love. Love expressed in giving. Love expressed in sharing. Expressed in wanting to help. Expressed in wanting to bless someone else. People they didn't even know. People they'd never seen. Never seen these Christians in the city of Jerusalem. That's why Paul says there's blessing in a cheerful giver. A person who knows love. And has love. And that's why they are giving. So it's St. Valentine's Day Sunday. I mentioned this next point in the newsletter, and I've complained about it more in my head, so just allow me to share. February 14th, St. Valentine's Day, St. Valentine, a follower of Jesus, way back, 270 AD, 50 years before Christianity became legal under the Roman Emperor. We don't know much about St. Valentine, but more than one church built was dedicated to him. So Valentine probably died because he was a follower of Jesus and refused to be anything except a follower of Jesus. Because at times in the ancient world, that got you killed. Officially killed. Capital punishment. Now fast forward 1,000 years plus, during the Reformation, Protestants were leaving the Roman Catholic Church. Protestants also quit venerating the saints. Why? Well, one reason is because all followers of Jesus are saints. Saint's a Bible word. A saint isn't someone closer to God than you or me. We're all saints. And some people in the church looked like they were praying to the saints, which raises all kinds of questions about loyalty and worship and a person's direct relationship to the Lord. So Protestants dropped the idea of saints, including artwork, statues, paintings, all of it. Out the door. Now, mind you, that doesn't solve a basic problem of the followers of Jesus who expect someone else to carry faith for the two of them. Men have said, "My wife handles the religion in the family." A man might say to a man who's going to prayer, "Put in a good word for me." Although I confess I wanted to say that to a number of our older members who were passing away. "When you get to heaven, would you put in a good word for me?" It's so natural to feel like that. But it's bad theology. It's terrible theology. Now, there's that old joke when Fred was asked why he goes to church, and Fred said, "Well, my friend Bob goes to church to talk to God. I go to church to talk to Bob." Or the priest who wrote that when people ask him to pray for them, he asks them to remember to pray for themselves. Make your connection to the Lord direct, not just through me. So it's terrible theology to want someone else to carry our faith. People wind up putting God up so high they don't think their prayers will reach God. They don't focus on the other scriptures that God has come to us in Jesus. God has come to us in Jesus, and the Lord has put his Spirit within us. We should be able to see it in other followers. And we can celebrate that. So, St. Valentine, I'm sorry that we in the 21st century are too afraid to celebrate Jesus in you. So, oddly, we Protestants in the 21st century, too afraid to celebrate Halloween, so we have harvest festivals and fall festivals, because Halloween has too many evil associations, while we could focus instead on the triumph of God over evil? And we could recognize that evil is real and in the world? Yes? So we don't celebrate Halloween, and we don't celebrate days dedicated to saints because we're afraid. You seeing a theme here? So it occurred to me in prayer on Monday evening, where in the Bible might we find love dealing with fear? Can you guess which scriptures? Well, let's try the book of Revelation. Revelation definitely has some scary images portrayed within its pages. Could we dress up at Halloween like the great dragon, or the ancient serpent, or the devil, or Satan, or any of his angels, or the horsemen of the apocalypse? Dress up like them as a reminder to all believers to resist the devil, to endure, to remind people to pray. How about dressing up as one of your favorite saints? Saint Nicholas costumes are very much available. Now, I've been too busy to do this up correctly at Halloween time, but I have decided that I should decorate my lawn at Halloween as a graveyard. Halloween's the only time of year when people give even a fleeting thought to death. And since we're all going to die someday, maybe Christians should use Halloween as a reminder that you might want to have some matters settled in your own mind before death does show up at your door. It could be a public service for Christians to do that, so that passerbys might think to get a will or buy life insurance. The book of Revelation has plenty of dead people depicted. Chapter 12, chapter 20, chapter 22. Love is also mentioned in the book of Revelation. Did you know that? Chapter 1, first chapter. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. To him who loves us be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 1 begins with a blessed reminder of the love Jesus has for you. Then we read of the suffering of the seven churches. Suffering within them and suffering coming at them. Being inflicted upon them. To two of those churches, the Spirit declared, chapter 2, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Ouch! You have forsaken love. A love you know and have expressed, and you've left that love behind? It'd be hard to hear that from anyone, but this is Jesus talking. The congregation at Thyatira is more positive. I know your deeds, your love, and your faith, your service, and your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. But to the church in Smyrna, verse 10, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. There's a phrase Jesus and the Heavenly Father have to say to us a lot. Jesus is quoted as saying to the churches in Smyrna, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will put some of you in prison to test you, even to the point of death. Be faithful, even to the point of death. Now, I put some notes in the sermon notes for you. Because we're told not to be afraid, and yet we're supposed to fear the Lord. I have trouble doing both of those at the same time. How can I draw near to someone I'm afraid of? But I put in the notes some possible other translations for that word about fearing the Lord. How about revere? Reverently revere. Reverently be in awe. See what you think. Now, some topics are uncomfortable and even scary, but this part of the message is so important, I'm going to share these stories. I'll try to ease you into it to make the point. When I was a kid, my brother was in the Boy Scouts, and I joined Scouting. My brother was an excellent Boy Scout. He would go on to receive the God and Country Award in Scouting. I was not a very good Scout. I don't recall that I ever got much past Tenderfoot Cub Scout. But I always looked through Boys Life magazine, and in that magazine there was always a true story told in comic book form, which is why I probably read it. A true story of some scout who saved someone's life. Saved their life from an accident or drowning or fire. It was always very dramatic. And the Boy Scout was a hero. And I thought it would be great to be a hero like that. Now, to my knowledge, I've never been a hero like that. Fast forward to the later part of the 20th century and into the 21st century. According to the World Health Organization, there are over 1 million completed suicides every year, which works out as a death every 40 seconds. In the United States today, there are twice as many suicides as there are murders. So for every person you hear about being murdered, or for every murder you hear about, two people have taken their own life in this country. Strangely, these desperate acts of self-destruction are all often carried out in some of the most beautiful locations in the world. San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge has been described as the most popular suicide spot in the world. But I hate the word popular suicide spot. Let's call it a place most selected or a place most chosen, because many suicides are planned. The 75-year-old bridge has seen more than 1,500 known suicides since it opened. And according to some sources, the average is one every 2 weeks. The worst year was 1995. There were 45 suicides, almost one a week. A few people do survive the suicidal leap off the Golden Gate Bridge. One of them is Kevin Hines. And if you simply type Kevin Hines' name into your search engine, you'll probably find his story, videos about him. What Kevin Hines says entirely agrees with what I'm about to tell you about what you can do. But I would rather show you with another person's example. Australia has its own selected place for suicide. It's called The Gap, a seaside cliff. Until a few years ago, there was an older gentleman who was called the Angel of The Gap. His name was Don Ritchie. He was a retired World War II veteran. Don Ritchie would walk the area and approach people on the cliff top who appeared distressed and invite them home for a cup of tea and a talk. Let me repeat that. Don Ritchie would walk the area and approach people on the cliff top who appeared distressed and invite them home for a cup of tea and a talk. He's credited with having saved 164 people from leaping off the cliff. Now, Don Ritchie was not a professional counselor. Don Ritchie was not a doctor. Don Ritchie was not a fireman. Don Ritchie sold insurance. He was a salesman. Don Ritchie didn't live far from the Gap, and he walked there, and if he saw anyone who looked troubled, he would simply ask, "May I help you?" He would invite these people to his house for a cup of tea and talk. His family claims his save rate is closer to 500 people. Some would later return to thank him for his life-saving kindness. Now, we could argue about this, but I believe what Jesus would call what Don Ritchie did, Jesus would call it love. Don Ritchie decided to care about complete strangers. Don Ritchie demonstrated love in the simplest of ways. What Don Ritchie did changed their lives. You realize what this means. I still have a chance to be a hero. You and I both can be heroes, and we don't have to enter a burning building or lift a car off of someone or jump into the water. Now, we might never know that we are heroes unless one of those people comes back to tell us we were heroes to them. But Don Ritchie and Kevin Hines have provided the proof. We can be someone's hero, demonstrating the love of Jesus. We don't know what Saint Valentine did to achieve saint status, but apparently it had something to do with Jesus' love, because his name is associated with love. And you and I know, as Valentine knew, we have love from God first. To you all, a blessed and happy Saint Valentine's Day. Amen.